那是打巴掌间一点，努伊呢？经过的打巴掌，一点在当不了。就拉当，拉木让人的打不塞当，就那批错的，一些是打不塞罗，好呀。
So he caused the part which then gives the various names of the Vajrayana. So again there is an argument. So it says, given the Vajrayana tradition, it is universal purity, or it is universal purity since according to it, the vessel, that is the external world, is pure in that it is a primordial mandala, and the contents, sentient beings, are of the nature of male and female deities. They are of the nature of gods and goddesses, and since the eight consciousnesses, the continuum, the mental continuum, are pure, or is pure in that it is wisdom.
Tantik also dorje tepe lola nansi takpa ramjan re nansi takpa ramjan yinpa la dubzi jitin si jiko gara ba dubzi jitin si meba yinna takpa ramjan yin si na pengi yuma re tene dubzi jitin si de de ta tenzi some
So according to the Vajrayana tradition then, or this tradition teaches universal purity. When teaching universal purity, one then needs reasons by means of which one can establish this standpoint, and so three are given.
Chitan takpa ram jam sijete, ram jam sijete madhavatani mebe singdavarava.
So the term rabjam means or amounts to that there are no impurities whatsoever of any kind.
Tine dorje tepe lo la madhavate namdo latinte. Madhabasuan, Madhab Nama Yubare Mato, Dorje Tebaranga, Tavang Dosena, Madhabaranga, O Madhubre.
So, generally speaking, impurity then comes into existence independent upon the conceptual mind. So, impurities in themselves are concepts. Then, according to the view of the Vajrayana, the essence or essential nature of that which is conceived of as impure, or that which is conceived of as impure, has no real essence, has no self-entity, has no true existence. So the analogy used to describe that view is then the one of a dream. In the dream state, one then dreams of a variety of things. One can dream of things that are impure, dirty and so forth. These dream appearances then manifest independence on the conceptual mind. In actual fact, or ultimately, these things dreamt of have no external existence whatsoever. Similarly, according to the Vajrayana, there are no impurities, there is no impurity. Impurity then, as was said, manifests independence on the conceptual mind. Therefore, impurities have no essence, have no true existence. So ultimately, this tradition speaks of, for that reason, universal purity. Then one may wonder what is to be purified. Well, that is then one's way of viewing the external world, the external world, its contents, sentient beings, and the continuum, the mental continuum.
Tenga ta no ji ji som de kare ta kare sen ta kare sen na no sen ji tin de no te yene yene tambo ne kane dema ne thoma ne tenda ji parwa thoma ne jingkor to tapa ka ye tambo ne jingkor to tapa jingkor ja.
So with respect to the external world, which is like a vessel, then this external world is primordially pure in that it is a mandala, a primordial mandala. So then Rinpoche gave a lot of synonyms for primordial from the very beginning, initially, and so forth. So that's then the first reason by means of which this view of universal purity is established.
Penamala the Serer the Matamba Janso Chintoina Matamba Janso de Namdok Namare Mato Matamba Janso de Tambone Trovio Mare Tapare.
If, for example, one dreams of an ocean of filth, dirt, then from the very beginning that ocean of filth has no true existence. So that's how this view is illustrated. That's an analogy illustrating this view.
This is not no yene am tangbo ni jingkor de takpa de tenzik tangbo re.
So the first reason by means of which this view of universal purity is established is then that the external world is primordially pure in that it is a primordial mandala.
Rengma kangik tag tangbo re zeng ba.
Lala.
Kangik se jude tag tangbo.
So the kangshik, as you've seen before, always indicates the first reason, that the first reason is to be followed by other reasons.
This is not that say that for Ramjan Yimba la ten say tangbo no ye ni jingkor de tabe ta jumsin de higo yore.
So in relation to this view of universal purity, one, as was said, should have a knowledge of the various reasons by means of which it is established. So this is the first reason, namely that the external world is primordially pure in that it is a primordial mandala.
That there are no yeni jinko yimba there, the ne sanga gjule dorjin changa yeni tapa yimba song yure de long re, repeta kietan mlam jepe sola jarte repeta kietan, the ne long da repa nyam yong toko vareta.
So this view then is to be established by means of scripture, reasoning and personal experience. With respect to scriptural authority, there are one can then quote Vajradhara, who has then given teachings that are written down in the tantras of the secret Mantrayana. There it is stated then that the external world is pure in that it is a primordial mandala. This, as we saw, can also be established by reasoning, by using the analogy of a dream, as Rinpoche used. So one is then to establish the validity of the reasons one gives by means of scripture, reasoning, and personal experience. Then we have the second reason, which is that sentient beings are pure in that they are of the nature of gods and goddesses. So the inner contents, sentient beings, are then pure in that they are of the nature of gods and goddesses. In the Vajrayana it's then taught that the skandhas, dhatus and ayatanas are of this nature of male and female deities. So in that sense, sentient beings are pure.
That is longer can they talk about this, no? Then it's joy, le, joy, nang, joy, the same thing, no? Then it's like, right, you know,
This has been taught in the tantras, namely that sentient beings are pure in that they are of this nature of gods and goddesses. So one can establish the validity of this reason by means of scripture, scriptural authority.
Tene rikpa ka kande togore sena pena ume wangdo sena tene ume taba wangdo sena konzob cha nangwa tamche nangdong yemi raba.
Then there is the second point, namely to establish this reason, the validity of this reason in relation to reasoning. So in terms then of the view of the Madhyamaka tradition, then all relative phenomena, all deceptive phenomena are ultimately the inseparability of appearance and emptiness. Therefore, the bodies of sentient beings are also this inseparability of appearance and emptiness. So if the bodies of sentient beings statement, namely that they are of the nature of gods and goddesses. So generally speaking, the forms of deities or gods and goddesses are not gross. They are not, their bodies or forms are not made up of blood and flesh. They are very pure, they are not at all filthy or dirty, unclean, and their bodies are also not made up of subtle particles such as atoms. So this is then so therefore their forms of bodies are this inseparability of appearance and emptiness, since their bodies are not made up of gross matter. So if our bodies were rainbow-like, then our bodies would be comparable to the forms of bodies of gods and goddesses.
Then I told the Lapa Ni, Kamba Ni, Mato Yomare, the Lala Yang, the Nick, Gana Ni, Yere, Mambutin, Yere, Nato Bayer. Did he cut it? Not to La Kala Yamato Mado, La Kala Yetia, Yere, Mambutin, Yerva, Tongo Pato Yang Yere. Shasa Manu, Cheva Yungo Yomare.
So our bodies then have the same form as deities. There are deities that have just two hands and two legs. So we are then like these deities. Though there are other deities that have many hands and legs, as many as a thousand, but there are also those that only have two of each. So in fact, our bodies are similar to the bodies that in appearance, similar to the bodies of gods and goddesses. So if one dreams of oneself and recognizes that one is dreaming, at that point one's dream body becomes like the body of a deity. If one recognizes a dream for what it is, then one is able to transform or change whatever is dreamt of, so one can transform one's own body at that point into the form of a deity. So when one recognizes a dream for what it is, as was said, one is able to change into whatever one desires to change into. If one is attracted to a red deity, one can change into a red one. One can change into a blue one, transform one's own body into a blue one, if that's what one likes. So at that point, in fact, one's body is like the body of a deity.
So it's then due
to conceiving of one's body as real and solid due to viewing it as something unclean, as something filthy, then due to such conceptions, one isn't able to experience this nature, namely that the one's body is of the nature of a deity. So due to the conceptual mind that is not experienced or realized, then from the point of view of how the body actually is, from the point of the view of its true nature, then it is of this nature, namely of a deity. So Milarepa stated in relation to the practice of the developing phase that the body is like a rainbow, the inseparability of appearance and emptiness. So if one realizes that the body in fact or ultimately is the inseparability of appearance and emptiness, similar to a rainbow manifesting in space, at that point there is no need for visualizing oneself as a deity. That realization in itself is sufficient. So in terms of the Vajrayana, there are then the two phases, the developing phase and the completion phase. These two phases have been extensively explained in the inner profound meaning by the third Karmapa, Ranjung Dorje. There he mentions that with respect to the practice of the developing phase, if there is a realization of the inseparability of appearance and emptiness, which is the same as that there no longer is any grasping at appearances as real and solid, as truly existent, then that realization in itself is sufficient, or that way of viewing or experiencing the phenomenal world is sufficient. It's no need then for additional practice, such as visualizing oneself in the form of a deity. So in terms of the Vajrayana then, with respect to the skandhas, Dhatus and Ayatanas, various deities are related to each and every one of these. Rinpoche thinks that the essential point of that teaching is to realize the inseparability of appearance and emptiness, that is in relation to one's own body. So if one's body is realized as the inseparability of appearance and emptiness, then the essential point of those teachings have been realized. In terms of the Mantrayana, then three aspects of the body are mentioned. There is a coarse or gross aspect, then a subtle one, and finally a very subtle. So the coarse body is then our bodies, or the bodies that are made up of the four elements. Then there is the subtle body, which is of the nature of nadis, prana, and bindu. Then there is the very subtle body, which is the true nature of mind, the inseparability of luminosity and emptiness. So ultimately, this statement that the bodies of beings is of the nature of deities or gods and goddesses has to be related to this third very subtle body, which is then the true nature of mind. Then in terms of meditating on deities, then as Rinpoche mentioned, there are three types. The first one is then conceptually created, an imaginary deity. Then there is the deity of prana and mind, and finally wisdom deity, the wisdom deity. These three are then to be related to these three types of bodies mentioned. In relation to practicing the first type, to mentally or conceptually create the image of a deity, meditate upon a deity as meditating on oneself as a deity, then for example, if one imagines a deity with one face, two arms, and so forth, one in actual fact only has changed one's appearance slightly. So sometimes it amounts to that one then changes one's appearance, color, shape, and so forth. So sometimes one imagines oneself in the form of a red deity, as a blue deity, or as a white deity. So the purpose of this, namely to change one's appearance by means of imagining oneself in the form of a deity, is to cut through one's ordinary way of conceiving of one's body, of conceiving of oneself. So one changes one's ordinary appearance, so to speak.
So
as was said, one changes one's outer appearance, the way in which one conceives of one's outer appearance. Then with respect to mind, one also cuts through one's ordinary way of thinking. One cuts through the conceptual mind by means of having confidence in, or developing confidence in, that one truly is the deity, which is literally called one takes pride in being the deity. So one might say that this practice related to the developing phase, which amounts to that one then conceptually creates or imagines oneself in the form of a specific deity. The purpose of such practice is then to cut through the ordinary way of conceiving of one's body.
Tene ngāka lōla lōng omar tsepa kāpsa lōng sēngi lāka sēji te rāngi jīngi lā sātā jīngkur xāyā yōgā rīndukā.
Then?
Te trāvalu, trāvalu te lōng sēngi rāngi jīngi bāla tēngi te lōng omar tsepa kāpsa yāng zōg jīnā wā nā zōg xāyā rīndukā.
So as was said, then the second body, the subtle body is of the nature of nadis, prana and bindu. So when one practices, then in terms of practice, or meditating on prana, then the karmic, when the karmic prana enters the central nadi, then deities, mandalas, naturally manifest, naturally arise by the force of that the karmic prana has entered the central nadi. So that's then the very subtle body in relation to the second type of deity, the deity of prana and mind.
Then ye ki jala ko se jete sem ji ne lok sa ja chen pa da zo pa chen pa ngo sam da to ko to ge ran yin ji yang la da la chen pa ya yo ge ren do wa te kar sa ne hin da ta bu lu sem ji ne lok sa tong ye mi da ngo ye me da lu ye pa la tin te te ne ran yin ji ye ki jala da sa yo ge.
Then, when the true nature of mind has been directly realized, the true nature of mind is then termed Mahamudra, Mahaati. It is said to be the inseparability of luminosity and emptiness and so forth. By the power of that realization, then also naturally deities and mandalas arise. So that is then related to the very subtle body, which, as was said, is inseparable from the true nature of mind. So that realization, or by the power of that realization, then these deities and mandalas manifest. So for the reasons mentioned, then the contents, sentient beings are pure in that they are of the nature of deities or gods and goddesses.
Then in nature, Jusom said that nature, Jusom, he gave a cup of Jutan Namki Tolere.
Then there is the mental continuum, which refers to or pertains to the eight consciousnesses.
Then that Jutan Namki Tolere, then he is number Tabarata.
So they are pure in that they are wisdom. So mind is pure that in that it is wisdom. Yeah, so this is just the basics of these reasons. There are very extensive explanations or teachings in relation to these three reasons mentioned. So then the way in which the eight consciousnesses are pure in that they are wisdom is explained further on.
Yeah, dorje tepe lola chuchin, sana dorje tepe lola chuchin, sige nyamni yinde, ta sana ke lola takpa ta nyamni yinde dogo yore. Ta sige nyamba yinde se, sepan kova re, kewa nyamni yinde pare, te nile chepa me pare, nyamba yinde. Sige nyamni yinde, ne lok trupa ta trabe yinso ro chepa sara. Dorje tepe lola chuchin, sige nyamba yinde, ne lok trupa ta trabe yinso ro chepa sara.
So, in terms of the Vajrayana, universal purity and sameness or equality are to be established. So, the following syllogies then establishes sameness, the sameness of samsara and nirvana. So, given the Vajrayana, it is the sameness of, it teaches the sameness of conditioned existence and peace, since these are of one taste, in the expanse free from elaborations, the true nature.
Sige nyamni se jete sipan kova re kewa nyande re, sige nyamni dan, konde yirmi te tenda jiwa yamore do.
So conditioned existence is then samsara and peace is nirvana. So that amounts to the inseparability of these two, the sameness of them.
Lorna doje tepe lola sipa de kewa la kepa mevare,
So according to the Vajrayana, there are no differences in relation to conditioned existence and peace or samsara and nirvana. They are inseparable. So it is then stated at the end of the reason that they are of one taste within the expanse that is free from mental complexity or mental fabrications. One then needs reasoning by means of which one can negate or refute mental fabrications. With respect to that, apart from the five great reasons of the Madhyamaka tradition, no others are needed. So in terms of sameness, the sameness of samsara and nirvana taught in the Vajrayana, then the five great reasons of the Madhyamaka tradition are sufficient with respect to establishing that standpoint. With respect to universal purity, as we saw above, other reasons are put forth, presented. So again there is a syllogism. So given the Vajrayana, it presents or teaches the three tantras, since the inseparability of mind and body is the causal tantra or the tantra of cause, and since the inseparability of means and knowledge is the tantra of means, and since the inseparability of the two kayas, the dharma kaya and the two form kayas, is the tantra of fruition. So in terms of the first statement relating the inseparability of mind and body, Rinpoche says probably the coarse body and the coarse aspect of mind are not in question here. What is considered is then the subtle and very subtle bodies. So from the viewpoint of the true nature of mind and body, then in relation to the coarse body and coarse aspect of mind, one can speak of their inseparability. But from the viewpoint of ordinary way of perception, the way in which body and mind is viewed by an ordinary person, then, for example, at death, the body is left behind and the mind leaves it. So in terms of such perception, one doesn't... This standpoint or statement that mind and body are inseparable wouldn't be seen as valid. So from the viewpoint of the conceptual mind of an ordinary person, then if mind and body are to be inseparable, it follows that when the body is cremated, the mind also is cremated, also burns in the fire. And in the case of burying the body in the earth, then the mind would also be buried along with the body. So from that viewpoint, this statement, namely that mind and body are inseparable, wouldn't be valid. Whereas from the viewpoint of the true nature of body and mind, then one speaks of their inseparability. The analogy given to illustrate that is then the dream body and dream mind. These then are inseparable. The way in which these are inseparable illustrates this inseparability of body and mind. So then again, if then somebody makes the following statement: since the developing phase is a conceptual designation or imputation, one should only practice or meditate on the completion phase. If somebody states that, then the following reason should be given, which counteracts that point of view. Given the conceptual developing phase, it follows one needs to practice it, since it is a method which enables one to enter the unfabricated path, or independence on the fabricated path, then one enters the unfabricated path. This follows, or this is a valid reason, since there is no other way than practicing the fabricated since there is no other way to enter or engage in the unfabricated path other than first having practiced the fabricated or contrived
path.
Since if there was such a thing as the possibility of engaging in an unfabricated path, not having practiced a fabricated path first, then that wouldn't in fact be a practice, since an unfabricated path is the result of having practiced something formerly or previously, namely a fabricated path. So that's, so to speak, the result. So it wouldn't be a method or a means in itself. It's the result of having practiced other methods. Well, if the first reason is not accepted by the opponent, namely that one must first practice the contrived or conceptual path, and that then enables one to engage in or practice the the unfabricated or non-conceptual path, if that reason isn't accepted, then one needs to give another reason, which could be as follows. It follows that the above reason given is valid, since in dependence on the path of the developing phase, which is fabricated or contrived, one is able to enter or engage in the unfabricated completion phase.
So then
it says, etc., meaning that one gives such reasons and others in order to establish this standpoint. So mm-hmm. one progressively establishes this by means of various reasons. So the developing phase is a contrived or conceptual path. The completion phase is then an unfabricated or non-conceptual path. So in the inner profound meaning, it is stated that one needs to practice the conceptual or fabricated path, the developing phase. One purpose is to enable the practitioner to rapidly be able to accomplish samadhi. So when one visualizes oneself in the form of a deity and the external world as a mandala, by that one then develops samadhi. That visualization is then the support enabling one to accomplish samadhi. So in terms of the Vajrayana, then there are three aspects, the outer, inner and other relating to the external world, the Vajra body, deities and mandalas. So samadhi is, well, these are also important with respect to accomplishing samadhi. So these three aspects, outer, which refers to the external world, inner, referring to the Vajra body, and other, referring to deities and mandalas, are then complete within one thing, that is the expanse of the true nature of mind, Mahamudra. So these are then these three arise out of this expanse of the true nature of mind, Mahamudra. So they are complete within that expanse. Then, as Rinpoche has mentioned, the skandhas, dhatus, and ayatanas are then of the nature of deities. There are specific deities related to each and every one of these, and in relation to that practice, the three aspects mentioned, outer, inner, and other, relating to the external world, the Vajra body, deities and mandalas, are then conjoined.
Tene guba sumba de kare sena yendo do maung bala zuku zuku na to be simti ji tun se be tene etendri yobare.
So another purpose of such practice, namely to visualize oneself as a deity and the external world as the mandala and so forth, the associated mandala and so forth, is to put up or set up the conditions which then results in that one accomplishes the form kayas in the future. The form kayas are then, one needs to accomplish these in order to benefit beings, in order to work for the welfare of beings. So this practice related to the developing phase is also needed in that respect.
Then in Lanja Kapsa, Yedam Jasanato Kompe, Sangjepa Kapsa, then Yendon the Zukanato.
So if during the path one then imagines oneself in the form of the deity and the external world as the associated mandala, one in fact does various meditations, visualizing oneself as many different deities, that then in the future results in the attainment of the form kayas, by the power of which one can work for the benefit of beings manifesting in various forms.
So
this part is then a very brief analysis of the Vajrayana. Rinpoche then emphasizes that it's only brief.
Dorje tekpa la chini tekpa nangyin ji jepa tindu gogo yo marimato chitan dorje tekpa la ya rinpoche jepa zo chogo yo.
So in fact it's not necessary to analyze the Vajrayana as extensively as one analyzes the path of characteristics, the sutra tradition, though if one were to attempt to a more extensive analysis, it is possible. So the main views of the Vajrayana, as we have seen, is the view of universal purity and sameness. These then can be, their validity can be established by means of reasoning, and one needs to establish their validity by means of reasoning.
Tene dorje tepa lola takpa tanyam ni mudupa la tene mudupa ka te takpa tanyam ni dopcho goyer.
So one can in fact negate objections to these views of universal purity and sameness by means of reasoning, and one needs to do that. In the past, great scholars have then debated this subject.
So this
part is then a brief analysis of the Vajrayana, which then shows that such analysis can be made, that it is permissible. So then there is finally a concluding verse given in order to facilitate the practice of meditation for those that emphasize that.
So
as we have seen in the text, each part is divided into three sections. The first is then an enumeration of definitions or characteristics given in order to facilitate an intellectual understanding for those that emphasize that, for those that are interested in that type of approach. Then there is the second section, which enumerates various reasons by means of which one either refutes or establishes a specific standpoint. That is then given for the sake of those that emphasize the practice of reasoning. For those that doesn't consider an intellectual understanding to be sufficient, then there is the third part, which is always a concluding verse related to the practice of meditation. It is then given for the sake of those that then are not interested in reasoning or intellectual approach, for those that emphasize the practice of meditation. So, in terms of the Vajrayana, those then that emphasize the practice of meditation needs to be totally free from doubts, needs to have great faith. So, in terms of a practitioner that has no doubts whatsoever with respect to the teachings of the Vajrayana, someone who has a firm faith and confidence in this tradition, and in addition to that, also a firm faith and confidence in the teacher that gives the quintessential instructions, in the case of such a practitioner, then many words are not needed. In terms of such a practitioner, then the practice itself is most important. So, generally speaking, with respect to the Buddhist tradition, it is stated then that one shouldn't rely on the literal meaning, one should rely on the meaning behind the words, the meaning of what has been taught. The words or the literal meaning of a word is not important. One may call a god or a deity, one may give this deity or god the name demon, though in actual fact that is a deity, it's not a demon. So the literal meaning of the word is not important. So the meaning of what has been mentioned, the meaning of the subject matter is important, not the literal meaning. What do you want, sir?
Oh, I guess I thought he was saying that the words were demons, but the meaning is God.
The Vajik La Dreaming Tana, no, if you give the name demon to a god,
what it's really.
Fajikla, dreaming, tana, give, you know, give the name demon to a god.
Oh, I see.
So, the literal meaning of the word is not the main thing. The main thing is the meaning of the word. So, the word itself, the literal meaning of the word isn't important. The meaning is important.
This is not that, the
So in terms of a practitioner who emphasizes the practice of meditation, then words or literal meaning is not very important. Their meaning is important. So the verse then says that thus knowing the meaning of the teachings of the great secret path, that is, namely the meaning, the mode of purity of the three things mentioned, the vessel, its contents, and the continuum, one should then know the meaning of these teachings, and practice in that way, and if the meaning of the sameness of conditioned existence and peace is realized, then the apparent world, samsara and nirvana, is the field of the three kayas of the victorious ones, that is a Buddha field. So if sameness is realized, then the apparent world, samsara and nirvana, becomes a Buddha field, or is seen or experienced as a Buddha field.
Tetar Sanchin Dorji Tepe Jyuzi Tonda Karesana Kondi Keba Yinda No Jyu Jyuzonde Takpa Ramjan Yinpe Sor Shikhen Sikhi Nyamni Teto Gore Ta Sikhi Nyamba Nyinji Tondo Na Takpa Ta Nyamni Nyirwa No Jyu Jyuzon Takpa Te Takpa Tsor Tang Sikhi Nyamba Nyinji Tondo To Na Tene Nansin Kondi Jyuzi Tamji Kosom Jyavi Shikhanes
So then the meaning of the teachings of the secret, great secret path, the Vajrayana, is then that the three things mentioned, the external world, sentient beings, and their minds or the mental continuum, are pure. So one should have a knowledge of these practices realized. If one has realized the meaning of the sameness of samsara and nirvana, conditioned existence and peace, then the apparent world, samsara and nirvana, is a Buddha field, the field of the three kayas of the victorious ones.
Gordana takpa tanyami je tonda to anatani, ta nansin konde tamji, tani kosam jalikina.
So if universal purity and sameness are realized, then the apparent world, samsara and nirvana, then is the field of the three kayas of the victorious ones, the Buddha field. So now we will recite this concluding verse.
It's not something that's practiced by a lay into that, but for the most part the emphasis goes on Nanamebi Nindra.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if you could ask Rinpoche if it's actually the case.
If that was like that in Tibet.
Yeah, if it's so, and then, well, let's just see what happens.
You know how to ask him.
Rinpoche La.
Yeah. So, Nyamin, so what they not lame the day over the window. Poor little.
And then I know, and some she gave it, no bother. Nindra, she take it away. I'll say,
Nindra get angry.
And then Lana may be Nindra give one, talk to one.
Let it.
That's a dirty palm.
And
the Judeo mustn't get Nyamin, start checking my way. And then, when you change it, then you almost
get nothing. Change it, so you're mad about it. Then, that luxury, luxury, la ra, la ba. Now, lola, tava remjo. Chupa remjo. Jude remjo, then the song, Tava Ramjoga Wanda Sena, Tambora, Sedamava Tavane, Ometava Pada Setene, Nagatawa Hiko Varedua. Gomba Ramjoga Sena Tene, Oma Comment is a Gon and Halamin Joko Varedua. Jude Ramjoga Sena, Tambor Sajinam Nesetene, Jujinam Nesetene, Lamijinam Nese, Tenen Hanya Laminam Nese, Jude Ramjoga. Rimjog Mazu Natene, Saju Juju to the Yamlin Kamazu, Lamila Yamlin Zuna, Jude Rimjog Mazu Varava. Tapa Nibalite Songer Jude Tava Rimjog Town, Chupa Rimjog Town, Jude Rimjog to Songerwa Tangbor Sevda Mawati Tangbor Karo Tangbor Sobjong Jimbarsa. Teji lap and nature, Tela Seda Mawatin, Dode Payan, Tejin. Ten a Namjur Giovanni, Tejiso Omatin, Majeramba Coinchine, Teji Dojitins. Te Kanza, one bond end and Tamasola, Tabarem joke, Giovarem joke, Gombarem joke, the Sabres on the war. Kanza, one bore Rablaina, Terem joke over your mother. Tanda Mancha, what the Kanza, one bore Rabja looks on the way over in the war.
First,
first
I was asking
from
the
tree
about the practice of the four sets of tantras. There are extensive explanations of four sets of tantras in the Tibetan literature on Vajrayana, and yet, just from what I've seen so far, it appears that for the most part, there's not much practice of the three lower tantras, that the emphasis is on the highest level tantra. At least that was my question. Rinpoche responded that in practice, it's not as if the practice of the three lower tantras was actually non-existent, which is more or less what I have been thinking about. In fact, there's a fair amount of attention given to it. However, there are. Then I asked about the. They say whether or not one did that would depend upon the individual systems that you were following. So then I ask, more from the point of view of most of us in the West, do the four preliminary practices of Rindro, and then the Abhisheka that's given is usually from the highest of the tantra class. And I was curious as to whether or not the, did that seem to suggest that there was no purpose in then going through the three lower tantras progressively in terms of developing some capacity for that type of practice. And then the Chagin responded that there were lots of different systems and it depended upon the one that you were following. I'm not sure I can remember all that he said here, but there was a sense of, as this was explained in Shejadzu, in terms of the view, you could start with the Vaibhashika view and go to the Satrantika view and then to the Chinnamatra view and then to the Madhyamaka view, and then progressively going up that way. So also in terms of people who are progressing, not mainly in terms of philosophical practice, but in terms of meditative practice and the various stages of meditation, that there would be different ways of going about it. And some people would go by way of the different classes of tantra, and some people would do the mental practice and then do the immediately receive the Abhisheka of the Anuttara Yoga Tantra. And that latter was more the way of persons from among the three types of persons, Rap, Jain, Tama. The finest, the middle, and the sort of the low or vulgar type. That mainly the receiving the Abhisheka of Anuttara Yoga Tantra first was mainly the way of Kansa, the highest class of person. And that's mainly the type that was practiced now. That's what you yourselves follow. So what else? Did I leave over here? Something?
Yeah. Well, there are these three progressive approaches with respect to view, conduct, and the tantras. So if one follows the progressive approach of the tantras, then one would start with the lower tantras, but not with respect to the other approaches. So it depends on the approach.
Tene sojin ni tanda ngindo, tan ngoyle ngindo tanya ti gomba narangasa na gomba remjo ka kocho do wayin barindo wati. So, Jingy, Tanda Nindu looks for Yerova. Tumong and Nindo, the Tumong may be Nindo tea, the name Gombar and Joker Cochugo Yasari. Caressana, Nindo Bunge, chile lo sa dunga ma jaga liyo mara jesu puhul sunwa rawa. Ta ngendo mbunye lo do namba yuye ta tumon se ye ngendo yuye tumon ma yinba nanga ngendo yuye te gomba ramjo ka kocho wa ye warendo. Chik se na ya po wa sam no ta na te gomba ramjo yungu yore. Gomba ramjo ka kocho yungu yore.
So, commenting on the way in which the practice of the four of the various preliminary practices, let's say the main point is the procedure by way of first doing the what are known as the common or ordinary preliminaries, the four reminders and so forth, the four thoughts that turn the mind away from cyclic existence, and then doing the uncommon preliminary practices of prostrations and so on, is mainly a way of entering by way of the stages of meditation. And that Rinpoche feels if you think about it carefully and look into it, you'll see that that's the way in which one's proceeding, what's called Gomba Rinpoche. That this system of the preliminary practices as we practice it now is not something that existed in India. It was developed in Tibet. It was systematized and developed and arose in Tibet. And that's, if you look into that carefully, you see that it's the way of practice by way of the stages of meditation.
Tiyan penna, tanjur nye par kawa tse, matapa le, jyantan korva nime, gomya, teso tamche, nyintu tan tumonga gomre brava.
So for example, the practices of thinking about the preciousness of a human rebirth, of leisure and fortune, of the death and impermanence, the relation between actions at one time and the effects which are experienced at a later time, and the faults of cyclic existence are stages of meditation which are common to the practices of the Nyingtu, the Shravakas or hearers.
Can you jump to the Nyingtu and Tiki Tumung? What do you do, Roba?
Then, the practice of love, compassion, and developing bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment, are practices which are common with the Mahayana tradition.
Jamro. Tumong.
So I made a mistake. Rinpoche was saying that the practice of going for refuge was something which was common to the vehicle of Shravakas and to the Mahayana, and then the development of bodhicitta, compassion and love and so forth, were practices which were uncommon, extraordinary, particular to the Mahayana.
Pena Chamru Kapsa Sanje Chudang Gende Somde Nyindu Da Tumonga Re Te Ten La Tene Yedam Ja La Gom Yan Duwa Chamru Kapsa La Te Yan Sangha Tumonga Yimbari Da Duwa.
So for example, when you go for refuge to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, this is something which is common to the various vehicles, but when you conjoin with that the practice of a deity, a Yidam, that is an uncommon Vajrayana or Mantrayana way of going for refuge.
Yedam jyoti ye laso taso gomdatini san tse gogo duwa ti kapsa sa ju yedam drupa tanyi yo marati yedam unsu gomdo ye rwa. Jyoti ye gomdo gudu.
So within the context of the four classes of Tantra, one is going for refuge within visualizing various deities, Vidams and so forth, and that that's a particular So for example, in the Tantra of Action, Saju Chaju, although you do not visualize yourself as a deity, you do visualize all sorts of external deities and so forth, and you go for refuge in that way.
Tini Gapo, Tachetana, Tini Jamru Kapsan, Tini Sajita.
So if you analyze that, there is a special way of going for refuge within the Tantra. order of action particularly.
Tene Dorje Samba Gomde Kapsa na ta lamine gombarawaya. Dorje Samba tene lamana jotezu kapsa tene la gomudwa.
So then for example when you practice Vajra Sutra and Guru Yoga and so forth, you are at that time actually meditating on deities explicitly.
Nora lamanan jo che kapsa tene kachu chu lo so yina dorje phamo gongu do wa
nashing
him do na che dorje phamo gong rani dorje phamo gongu yere tene ta doen da je o kan de na ye dam ja sa so to ju de ye kan ga gongu do wa yang bo nyang le so ngo yang
just
so
ah yang just so dorje sam ba na nashing
him re Lamanan jo je kapsa ran le dorje phamo gongo yere tene ndoyam jewor tene jure ki laso to so gongo yero wa sanga gnyam ne ro yo bare no taya to yasen
when one does the guru yoga one visualizes oneself as dorje phamo and in front of one or seated on the crown of one's head are all the deities of the four classes of the tantras
So,
with respect to the approach Jules mentioned, namely that one first does the preliminary practices, and then receives empowerment and does deity practice, that's then a progressive approach to the practice of meditation. It's not a progressive approach in relation to the view or the different views. So in fact this approach, which is a progressive one consisting of that one starts out with the four preliminary practices and then continues, is then a very skillful approach, a skillful method.
Oh, did I lasso? Yeah, you got it.
Is there any relationship between the four stages of Gundro and the tantras leading up to Anuttara Tantra?
Because the four classes of tantras, you mean? Mm-hmm. If they're related to each?
Kriya, Upa.
Yeah,
because when you do prostrations, the deities are before you, and then in Dorje Sempa, the deity is closer to you, and then you finally.
The Mundushi, Bang, Gyudishi, Gyudishi, Jelva, Yorve.
Nero Yeda.
Lare Pena. Dangpo satseve kapsu tene la rangi dun la gongyo re de satyu drapo rebe tene
jetsog la dorje
la re tene chitsu la gongyo re dorje sempa tene denje tani ru ni ru drapo jogi marvis tene gyu shi dangon ru shi
jelva
yongyo rebe ngondo dangda sa satselva de satyu
se Tem melhor lá da casa. Jeje, isso é mandala.
What's the mandala related to then?
Yenda de casa. Yenda lá da casa.
Which tantra?
You got no choice.
Tá tele tirar a resposta isso. Tele tirar a resposta isso tá.
Nino
aqui tá.
Yes.
Related to the
which of the four tantras?
Okay, well, Kriya would be like prostrations,
right.
Because in Kriya Tantra you behold the deities, but you can't identify with them, or, and they don't do anything to you.
What do they normally do?
But then the tantras above Kriya, where you begin to have an inner portion of it, are like Dorje Sempa, because although Dorje Sempa is outside of you, part of Dorje Sempa comes inside of you.
Oh, I see.
Nah.
And that's leading.
And then the mandala.
That triangle. I see. Well, it seems that I can't compare them exactly, but Charya and Upa and Yoga are moving progressively towards identifying with the deity.
They reach into Que
pasó? Rere, ¿qué pasó?
¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó?
¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó?
¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó?
¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué
pasó? ¿Qué pasó?
Well, one could think of it in that way. if one thinks in that way, there might be a connection.
Mendra le kapsa ya, jete ye la to kanga gom go gudu bo. Mendra le kapsa.
No.
Raba. Ina tendu nendo ye da jete ye deva ye pa ngara thong ma nyam.
Rinpoche hasn't seen any explanation that connects this, but one could connect them.
Chetang wang da sena nendo ta dosere ma to jete ye la to to kanga gom go gudu bo.
Lare.
Dorje sambal dorje sambal chibu raba. Yenda la kanga.
Except for the Dorje Sempa meditation, one does visualize the deities of the, all the four classes of the tantras in the other three.
Mm-hmm.